everyone, and welcome to Minute 24 of Season 5 of Movie Rob Minute, the daily podcast where we yippee-ki-yay our way through the 1990 Bruce Willis action film Die Hard 2, Die Harder, 1 minute at a time. I'm Rob, and joining me once again today is Jeanette Ward of the Adventures Mundane Fangirl of a... I'm just kidding. Of the Mundane Adventures of a Fangirl. Welcome back, Jeanette.
That's me. I'm so happy to be here.
Not now, later.
Later.
Thank you very much for coming back. It's it's been a fun week so far. Hopefully you're enjoying yourself. Hopefully people are listening are enjoying themselves too. We know that Carmine isn't necessarily enjoying himself right now, but John is. John's having a blast.
John's got a plan now. He's got some things in motion. He knows he's on his own. He's got to handle this.
That's right. He's got a hand on things.
I see what you did there.
I'm glad you did. So, episode 24 begins with John trying to confuse the coroners and ends with Esperanza rubbing his aching, chained legs. Just like a good Django should. Mm-hmm. So, yesterday we ended things with John running after the coroners and trying to explain to them, you know, why he's stopping them. He has a piece of paper and an ink pad in his hand. And he started by saying yesterday, all the confusion in there. And then he continues today by saying, I forgot to get this clown's prints. And then he looks pretty grossed out by what he's doing, basically. And then he like picks up the hand and he goes, ew, Christ.
A gruesome job indeed.
Yes, and one of the guys basically turns to him and says, you're supposed to do that at the morgue, which I think makes sense. You know, it sort of makes sense that that's where you should be fingerprinting people. You don't have to have morgue workers walking around fingerprinting dead bodies wherever they find them. You know, coming to a dead body near you, the morgue guys are going to actually come and... you know, take your prints. See what's going on. Yeah, I don't know. I don't think it works. Nah, they're good. But, you know, I think it's also next time, these guys are going to be really confused.
Yes.
They're like, wait, but last time, they're going to be at the airport next time with a dead body saying, where's the guy who's going to come print these guys?
Right. Aren't you supposed to do this, you know, before we get to the morgue?
That's what that guy told us. I don't know. Not too sure. Mm-mm. And basically, John gives him I actually like the what he says to them because it is pretty funny.
Yes. You know,
he goes, not anymore. Got a new SOP for DOAs from the FAA.
And honestly, nowadays you could add a TSA reference in there as well.
Yeah, probably.
I was expecting him to mention TSA, but as we've learned, TSA didn't come into existence until later. So, yeah, if we've learned anything from movies, a sure way to create a distraction while you need to get something done is to throw a bunch of acronyms at a generic movie standby.
Yes, for sure. Because why else? You know, why would they even think of anything else?
Mm-hmm.
That makes sense. That's the way these things go.
I do like
go.
That none of these, he doesn't make up any acronyms. These are all legitimate acronyms, but
that's
when
correct.
You say them all close together, you confuse people.
Yeah, you got to give John credit for the fact that he's actually able to, you know, just on the fly, you know, bring these out.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, I definitely give him credit for that. You know, just to quickly go, oh, it's a new SOP for DOAs from the FAA. You know, now I'm assuming you know what all these mean, right? So what's an SOP?
Absolutely. SOP is a standard operating procedure. I tend to create them a lot for work.
Okay, which makes sense. Mm-hmm. It's also a military term also, but it's also mm-hmm. used in offices. Basically refers to the unique procedures of what's being mm-hmm. done in a particular unit or section or whatever, you know, in a particular place.
It's a how-to guide.
Yeah. I mean, the use of the word standard standard means that this is it. This is the one. This is what we need. You know, nothing
This
else.
is how you do this thing. This is how you do it.
That's right. That's because it's standard.
Yeah. Yep. And then DOA is dead on arrival. So that's, you know, when you get a corpse.
Yeah.
And then FAA, I believe, is the Federal Airline Association.
Now, you know that there are other, well, let's go back to DOA for a second. You know, there are
okay.
other phrases for DOA. Okay.
No, it also, that I didn't.
No, meaning you have dead on arrival, but the same thing you could say someone is dead in the field or brought in dead. These are all
okay.
terms that indicate that a patient was found to be already clinically dead upon arrival of professional medical assistance,
okay.
often in the form of first responders, you know, sometimes, you know, EMTs or paramedics, firefighters, police, things like that.
Okay.
So, yeah. I mean, I was that reminds me of you know, the two movies called DOA. Are you familiar with either of them?
No, I'm not.
So there's the one that I'm more familiar with is the 1988 one with Dennis Quaid and Meg Ryan, where he plays a professor who realizes that he's been poisoned and he knows he's dying and he has to the end of the night to figure out who poisoned him.
Okay. All right.
And, you know, Meg Ryan's a co-ed that he that he comes upon and, you know, she helps him out to try to figure out you know, who it is that did it. And this is based on a film noir movie from 1949, which was also called DOA, which is a similar
okay.
thing. You know, I've always liked Dennis Quaid 80s stuff. So, you know, to me, that was always a fun movie to watch. And then, obviously, you have the FAA, which is the Federal Aviation Administration, which we've talked a little bit about over the course of... over the course of this show so far, you know, we, you know, just last week about the fact of breaking regulations, breaking FAA regulations.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it used to actually be known, the FAA was created in 1958 and it took over for the Civil Aeronautics Administration, the CAA, and it is now part of the Department of Transportation.
Of course, that makes sense.
Okay, so the FAA basically has, I think, eight things that they're in charge of. So they regulate U.S. commercial space transportation, regulate air navigation facilities, geometric and flight inspection standards, they in encouraging and developing civic aeronautics, including new aviation technology, issuing, suspending, or revoking pilot certifications, regulating civil aviation to promote transportation safety in the U.S., especially through local offices, developing and operating a system of air traffic control and navigation for both civil and military aircraft.
Mm-hmm.
What else to do? Researching and developing the national airspace system and civil aeronautics. And the last thing they do is developing and carrying out programs to control aircraft noise and other environmental effects of civil aviation.
Huh. Okay.
So yeah, they're pretty busy.
They are very busy. They have a lot to do. Yes, they are not people I want to mess with.
That is correct. That is correct.
Also, I want each of them to be operating at the very top of their game.
Right, that's true. And while John is doing all this, while he's talking about this, he basically has taken Cochran's hand and has put ink on each of his fingers, and is putting. It looks like he's fingerprinting the guy, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then he's finished, and the hand just stays there, right?
Has it been long enough that rigor mortis had set in with this guy?
That was the question I was about to ask you.
Okay. I don't think it has. Honestly, I thought rigor mortis took like 8 to 10 hours to set in. Please don't quote me on that. I have no idea if that's right.
Right. Well, it says here that it could take as little as 4 hours after death.
Well, all right.
Okay.
Do we know how long it's been?
No, we have absolutely no idea. Because it's basically his conversation with
yeah, how long was he in Sipowicz's office?
That's right. Don't know. not really sure. They never tell us
because
how long
hand,
he's in the office, but
that hand just stays right where he, like, it's ready for a high five.
That's right. Well, you know, that's Cochran for you. He's ready for a high five.
That's right.
After getting his head split open, there you go.
Always ready for a high five.
Yeah. Right now, they claim that the rigor mortis usually lasts no longer than 8 hours at room temperature. You know, so
That's
it
enough
does. It's not
explaining.
permanent. Well, that maybe that's where you got confused about the 8 hours. You know, you were thinking about that.
Okay, there you go. Yes, all right. Yes, clearly.
And then John gives a little bit of dark humor here, and he basically goes, "I don't think this one's gonna make it."
So he disarms these two coroners with no, first way too many acronyms and then a dark joke, which I'm sure these coroners just love. If I've learned anything from TV, which as you know is the best teacher,
Of course.
it's the coroners and medical examiners on all the cop shows, they love dark humor.
Yes.
They're all the weird folks are always the ones in the basement with the dead bodies.
That's correct. And then John pushes the hand down. You know, no more high fives for Cochrane.
No, he's done with his high five days are over.
Yes. And then we get a shot of a jet, an airplane.
Yes. Some really beautiful Photoshop green screen kind of playing on background stuff.
Yes. From what I understand, these are models.
Oh, there you go. All right.
I believe that's what our good friend Rennie Harlan said on the commentary.
I'm certainly not going to argue with Rennie.
Yeah, I know that he talks about the Hercules is definitely a model that they use. So my assumption is that these are models too. I tried making out what the symbol is on the side of the jet. You know, but since Valverde is not a real country,
I was going to say, is
you
it
know,
the symbol of the country? And then I was going to ask, is it a real country? I don't remember it. No, it's not.
Valverde is not a real country. I talked about it a few weeks ago, but all the different movies and TV shows that mention Valverde that are mostly all Stephen D'Souza stuff. You know,
You know,
apparently
I always like
Predator
that.
supposedly takes place in Valverde. Commando definitely takes place in Valverde. There were a whole bunch of others. I don't even remember
I
all of
like
them.
that. If you produce, write, direct, are involved in enough stuff that are going to take place in a similar environment, go ahead and make up a fake country and then use that over and over again. I think that's just smart, and it provides continuity, but it also helps to suspend disbelief because the more people hear it in different things, the more they're going to assume it's real.
That's true, also.
I forget what the fake brand of cigarettes that pops up like in all the NBC TV shows, like there's that kind of stuff that, yeah, I like that. I think that's cool.
Okay, that makes sense. I agree with you on that. So I don't know if that symbol is supposedly a symbol of Valverde, or maybe it's a
I'm
symbol of a
sure it's
real
on the
country.
Valverde flag.
I've never seen the Valverde flag. I've seen a supposed map of Valverde, but I've never seen a flag. So I can't tell you. I mean, it looks like an eagle. It actually looks it looks similar to a Nazi symbol.
Oh, great. Well, that wouldn't surprise
If
me.
you
Clearly, it's a terrible
look at
place.
second do you have it open in front of you?
Yep,
If you
I
look
got
at
it open. Hold on.
second 22, you can
Second
see it.
tool.
It looks like an eagle standing up straight, you know, with this red symbol on its chest. I don't know, it reminds me of some sort of Nazi symbol.
Well, they did love an eagle. Oh yeah. Yeah. I'm going to assume that the eagle is the national bird of Valverde as well, some sort of a jungle eagle.
It could be Jungle Nazi Eagle.
There you go.
You know, why not? Why not?
Of course.
You know, quickly the jet moves away, and the second jet moves away, and then we see the Hercules airplane just flying on its own. Are you familiar with the C-130 Hercules? Have you ever seen them in
I
movies
am
before?
not. I've seen it. I feel like it when I saw this scene, my brain went, "Oh yes, of course, that type of large cargo plane." I accepted it.
Right. Okay. There are like 40 different variants of the Hercules.
Wow.
It is the main tactical airlifter for many military forces around the world, and there are more than 60 nations that use them.
Wow.
It entered service in 1956.
Jeez.
Yeah.
It is a chunky aircraft.
Well, obviously. Yeah, so it became the in 2007, it became the fifth aircraft that was able to mark 50 years of continuous service with its original primary customer, which obviously is the U.S. Air Force.
Yeah, of course. Okay.
And it is the longest continuously produced military aircraft at more than 60 years.
Well, when you get the design right the first time, you don't have to change it.
That's right. That makes sense.
That's right.
If it ain't
That's
broke,
why
don't
sharks still
fix
look
it.
like sharks.
You get a shot of the pilot and co-pilot, which I've always assumed that the pilot's the one on the right-hand side of the screen and the co-pilot's on the left, but I could be wrong because I've
Oh,
seen
that's interesting.
places.
Now, I always assume that the pilot is when I'm looking at the one on the left of my screen.
The pilot's the guy with the mustache.
Yes. Now, why do I assume that? Because then when you're in the cockpit, the pilot's the one on the left, on the right? That makes no sense.
Yeah, I
Huh.
don't know.
All right.
I don't know.
Okay.
Mostly when I see in movies, you walk into the cockpit and it's the guy who's on your left, which means if you're looking
Yes.
into it, so it's the guy on the
You'd see
right.
the guy on the right. Yeah.
That's where Captain Over was, in airplanes.
Yes. Yes.
Over,
You're
under, over.
right. You're right. That's, yeah. Very
Right.
interesting.
That's why I always assume that, but I could be
Yeah.
wrong. You never know.
No, I think that you are right. I think Senor No Mustache would be the pilot,
There you go.
and his pilot would be the other one,
Correct.
who notes that the escort has left.
That's right. He goes, "There goes our escort." And then he, do you know Spanish at all or not? Like, do you understand what they're saying or not? Without the
A very
subtitles.
base level,
I
yeah.
need
I
the
yeah,
subtitles.
certain words, but not enough that I don't need the subtitles.
Right. Okay. There goes our escort. It doesn't matter. We're out of danger now. Why would they have been in danger? Danger of
My
what?
guess is here now.
Someone's gonna
This
shoot
is
them
pure
down?
speculation. Are you ready for this pure speculation?
Sure.
Because they have the general on the airplane, and they're trying to get him the extradite him from the country in order to get him to the U.S. to face trial, arrest, etc. My guess is that in his country there are a bunch of people who want to free him, and so they had the escort because they were worried their transport was going to be attacked by his supporters.
Why would they attack it if they want to save him?
To free him. So they would attack the
Ooh,
escort in order
I
to
don't know if that's
rescue
just a
him.
smart thing to attack an airplane.
Listen, I didn't say it was smart. I said that's what I assume is going on. So once they exit the airspace of what is it, Valverde?
Valverde.
Once they exit the airspace, then they're like, okay, our escort's gone. Well, that's okay. We're safe now. We don't need to worry about them because we're on our way to the States. That's what I assumed. That's
Okay.
entirely, as I stated, pure speculation.
Fair enough, fair enough. So they are out of danger now. And
Yes, they're
then
out of.
the guy on the right, whether he's the pilot or the co-pilot, says, "We're safe all the way to the United States."
Yes, what I love about this again, pure exposition. What we have learned from this very short sequence is they no longer have an escort. They're on their way to the States. They are 3.5 hours away. This
That is
clearly
correct.
establishes a timeline for the movie that we need. I love it.
That is correct. Now, how far is approximately, if for a plane to fly 3.5 hours, how far away do you think they are?
3.5 hours, and they're going to Washington, D.C., right? So,
Yes.
like, if we have a big map and we started in Washington, D.C., we need a 3.5 hour circle around it via airplane.
That is correct.
I will tell you that from Milwaukee to Vegas is approximately 4 hours, or to Los Angeles, 4 hours. So, that being a 4 hour circle, that's a real big circle. But if you put it on D.C. and then you do that circle, I gotta tell you, are we assuming this is a South American country? Because that's too far out. Maybe Central American, that would still be a bit of a stretch. Cuba or some island like that, more likely.
Well, once again, it's fictional, so it doesn't matter.
There you go.
So the research I did basically says that it's approximately about between 1,000 or 1,100 miles, somewhere between
Okay.
that. Okay. So I just did a quick search of what is, I went right in the middle. I said, what is 1,050 miles from Washington? Right. So if you go southwest of Washington, okay, you would get to Baton Rouge. If you went west of Washington, you could get to Dallas, Oklahoma City, Tulsa, Kansas City, both Kansas Cities, obviously, or Omaha. Northwest of Washington is approximately Minneapolis. All right, 3.5 hour flight. Then if you're flying south, which is the direction that they are coming from because they're traveling north. Okay, so the answers that I got was is either the Bahamas, Havana, or Key West. So you were pretty close when you said
Cuba.
Cuba. There you go. That could be.
That's my guess. Valverde is a fictional country sharing the island with Cuba. Or another island right next to Cuba.
It's very possible. When I was doing my research, I actually made a mistake and I said, what's 3.5 hours from Washington? And it started telling me, okay, New York. And I'm like, it doesn't take 3.5 hours to fly. And then I realized that I was looking at, how long it takes to drive. A little bit of a problem. Little bit of a Right. So basically that's the distance. They have 3.5 hours, which also tells us that we now have 3.5 hours of movie time that we need to waste before their plane will land in Dulles,
Before things kick
which
off.
this 3.5 hours is going to go by really quickly in this
Yes.
movie.
Yes.
And then we get a shot of a watch, and next to the watch is handcuffs. And then it pans up, and we see the face of General Esperanza, who
Is
looks
this the
like he's
first time we see
sort of.
him in the movie? Remind me.
It's the first time we really see him. We saw him in news footage
Okay.
beforehand.
Gotcha. Okay.
Okay. Now, do you know who the actor is who plays him?
Franco something.
Franco Nero, who was born on November 23rd, 1941. He has 242 IMDb credits, but he is not a porn star like the woman we talked about the other day.
That you know of.
As far as, well, no, based on the movies that he's been in, it doesn't sound like it. His the thing that put him on the map was his role as the original Django, okay, back in the 1960s, which was a spaghetti western because he himself is Italian. And then
Yes.
he had a starring role in Camelot in 1967. He was Lancelot.
Okay.
And in that movie, he met Vanessa Redgrave. And they started a relationship on and off that has lasted 50 something years.
Oh.
I saw things also that he had dated Goldie Hawn at some point in the 70s or whatever, but he has a child with Vanessa Redgrave. They have a son who is, I think, a director.
Interesting.
They officially only got married in 2006. I was surprised to see that he was also in the movie Force 10 from Navarone from 1978, where he
Okay, that
played
sounds familiar.
Leskover, which was that was a Harrison Ford film. It was also with Carl Weathers. It was a very poor sequel to The Guns of Navarone.
Ah, okay.
Yeah, and he played the main villain in 2 Hours at Munich, which was all about the hostage situation at the Munich Olympics. So he played
Yes.
Issa, the
Okay.
main bad guy there. And then we were supposed to sympathize a little bit with him. Here he is sitting in this plane. We see his legs are also chained. He reaches down and rubs his legs and says, "These chains hurt." So there's always a reason to sympathize with someone in chains. What can I tell you? And that's pretty much all I have to say about this minute.
Yep, I like them stating the 3.5 hours very clearly, and then him looking at the watch. It reinforces to the audience, pay attention, 3.5 hours.
That's right.
You're like, okay, got it.
That's right.
I got it. Understand.
That is correct. So the script has a little bit of a difference in there's some discrepancies here in the way that it plays out. So the morgue worker says to John, "What are you doing?" And John is starting to fingerprint and he goes, "Didn't you ever have an airport stiff before? We need an FAA ID on your DOA." Says he presses the fingers against the paper, checks them. The hand he's released remains straight up. McLean says, "Yep, he's dead all right. Thanks." And he's gone as they look after him, puzzled. Okay, then it says exterior shot of a Valverde military transport in flight during the night, cruising along its fighter escort a few wingtips away. Now the fighter wags its wings and peels away. The camera moves from the cockpit back through the rest of the plane, the co-pilot. And so then it has Spanish here, so I don't really know what it says here. apparently the script writer knows Spanish, so therefore he put it in. But it's pretty much the same thing. It talks about 3.5 hours because I see it says tres horas y media and something escorto. So apparently our escort is gone. It makes sense. And then it looks then it says the camera pans and we see Esperanza looking astonishingly carefree.
Oh.
Yeah, and that's how that minute ends. So yeah, every Thursday we have a segment called Aviation Thursday, where my guests will give their top five movies that take place in an airport or in an airplane or something related to aviation.
Plane-related movies.
That's right. Plane-related movies.
Well, I got to tell you, this was tough because there's a lot of them, right? And so this is another one where it's hard to narrow down. I did come up with a top five.
Always bet on black.
That is in there. That's right around, and ironically, tied 5-6, like Air Force One, Passenger 57 are right at 5 and 6 for me, so I'll say Passenger 57. Air Force One, fantastic, of course. Snakes on a Plane, barely missing the top five for me, which is a movie that delivers on a promise. Snakes on a Plane, that's exactly what you get. You can't argue with that. Number five, Passenger 57. Wesley Snipes die-harding on a plane. That's all you need.
That's right.
There's a lot of non-plane action in that movie that you forget about. So there's a lot of plane action and then a lot of non-plane action.
Now, I must say that you know, in our conversation 6 months ago when we did Die Hard, you also brought up Passenger 57, and you got me to rewatch it. And I rewatched it, and I enjoyed it more than I did before. I still haven't written a review. It's one of those hundreds of reviews that are still waiting for me to do, but I keep seeing it and I keep saying to myself, I got to write that review. So it's coming. It's coming.
I joined Jay for the Con Air podcast.
That's right. Like a spin-off, I loved your episode on that one. That was a great episode.
It's a movie that, again, you don't need a ton if you can be entertained for a solid 90 minutes.
That's right. No, even less. It's less than 90 minutes. From what I remember,
that's right.
Like 83 or something like that. Yeah.
Number four. And I mentioned, I mentioned Air Force One. That's good. Number four, I have Red Eye, which is a movie with Cillian Murphy and Rachel McAdams.
I actually just saw that for the first time a few months ago, and I really enjoyed it.
I like it. Again, very tight, very small, very fast, quick, right to the point. You get what you need. It's entertaining. I like it.
Yeah.
Three, this could be Con Air, but I also have Executive Decision. I'm putting Executive Decision in there, which is a Steven Seagal movie featuring the slightest amount of Steven Seagal that becomes a Kurt Russell movie.
That's great.
With Halle Berry, John Leguizamo. It's great. Very entertaining. Good, good flick. And then we have, let's see, number two, and this is a surprise from this year, Plane, with Gerard Butler and Michael Coulter.
Really? I didn't like that
yes.
so much. I'm not a fan of that
I
one.
I loved it. Very, again, straightforward. Here's a plane. There's a bunch of people. It's gone down. Now he's got to rescue the people and get back on the plane.
Okay.
Great.
Fair enough.
I love it. 90 minutes. Get in, get out. It's wonderful. Number one, I wanted to put Hot Shots. But it's more of it doesn't feel as much plane movie as Airplane. And so I figure because they're both Zazz movies, I'm going to put Airplane number one because, my goodness, there's so much in that movie that there's something to entertain everybody. Leslie Nielsen, I think, is the best part for me. But everyone
Shirley, you're
in it
joking.
Is fantastic. I am serious. Don't call me Shirley. And that's how I got this drinking problem. It just splash on the forehead. Come on. Fantastic.
For
drink.
Sure.
All of it, the bit about the red curb at the airport is for unloading and loading. And no, the white
the
curb
red
is
zone,
for loading
the red
and unloading.
Zone.
Exactly. All of that is brilliant. God, why am I forgetting his name? Bridges. Lloyd Bridges.
Yes.
Ooh, fantastic.
I sure picked a bad day to quit smack.
Every scene. Every scene. He's fantastic. It's perfect. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
Yeah.
All of that movie is great. So yes, Airplane would be my number one movie. I like Hot Shots better, but it's less of a plane movie than Airplane.
Okay, I understand that.
And again, the part of Hot Shots that I like is still Lloyd Bridges. And so I think that it perfectly translates to saying Airplane is,
Yes. Okay.
There you
that
go.
That makes sense. All right, great. So you want to once again tell us where people can find Jeanette Ward?
Yeah, absolutely. Check me out there on the Instagram at j.y.ward. And then I'm on Twitter and I'm on Facebook. I'm not on TikTok because I'm an adult. But you can also look up My Belly Dance Troupe if you want to see some videos for us. Go ahead and check out our YouTube. You can just go to YouTube and search for Tamarind Belly Dance, and you'll find a bunch of videos. We got some upcoming shows. You can check us out on our website, tamarindbellydance.com. And you can find my movie reviews, which are, you know, I'm behind. I need to catch up on some of those because I've been traveling. So jwardadventures.blogspot.com. That's where you'll find me.
All right. Excellent. And finding me is very simple. Just do a quick search for Movie Rob Minute. You can find me on Facebook, find me on Twitter, or you can go directly to my website, movierobminute.com. So, Jeanette, you feel like coming back in tomorrow? Not now. Later.
Yippee-ki-yay. I will be here.
All right. So, until tomorrow, yippee-ki-yay.
Yippee-ki-yay.
If you're fond of sand dunes and salty air, quaint little villages here and